We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
Hey, gentlemen, show and Clinton show. I love your show. You guys are great.
And I've been listening to 610 since back in the 80s. This is the best combination for afternoon drive time sports radio I've ever heard. Show, Clint, you guys got it going on, man. I really appreciate your show.
Oh, show, Clint. I love the show, man.
You guys are by far my favorite show to listen to.
I love what y'all do. I'm in love with the show, man.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
I love you guys. You guys are amazing, man.
Listen to the show. Really like what you guys are doing.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, let's go, baby. A beautiful Wednesday. I'm amped to be here today. We all look good. I'll get a haircut tomorrow.
You got a sponge brush, I think, too, now.
It's getting a little woolly.
But we
best hair at the station this entire show right here.
Still,
react
though,
to that.
Still the truth.
A woolly
still,
booger.
Still
a woolly
the
booger
that's
over
all right,
here.
I'm going to get nice. I'm thinking about cutting it all off, man. I'm thinking about
what?
Hold on, Joe.
I mean, what? You just can't leave.
You
well
worked so hard to get
I'm
to where you
about,
are.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh, it's because LeBron did, isn't it?
No.
Man, you're exactly. I did not even think about it.
That's not it.
Man.
I am myself.
I was just thinking about a little bit of a change.
Oh,
I mean,
this man worked so hard.
The more I get to know you,
I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's real, though.
First off, we're not sure if LeBron actually did cut his hair off.
But if he did, you want
if
to.
He did, no, I don't. I don't want to be bald. Oh. I don't have to. I'm just thinking about cutting it down some. A lot, maybe. Thinking about it, man.
I think it's a terrible idea.
You worked so hard to get back.
How quickly a man forgets.
I still got it. Listen, we know it still. I'm just talking about, cutting it down a little bit.
You went through the whole Harold situation.
I'm not trying to go John McClane.
Think about how far this guy has come, Tyler, since he got to spend a lot of time with me and you every day. He got to sit right here. He got to sit right here. I mean, he is a lucky dude. I mean, he's dropped 120.
More bridges.
He survived Harold. And not only is Harold gone, that hair is thick back there.
Yeah, it looks good.
He was looking 10 years older than he really is with his hairline. And somehow, some way, it's all come back.
And now LeBron shaves his head. So I'm thinking about cutting it all off.
This has nothing to do with LeBron, a great American. It has nothing to do with him. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about bringing it down.
I can tell by the tone in your voice.
Look at Leroy. I'm thinking about going where Leroy is, right?
You need to let Leroy be Leroy.
Just thinking about coming and bringing it down a little bit, man.
Nope. Hey, oh, damn. Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
Nope.
Not gonna shave it. Just bringing it down.
I mean, we sit around and talk about this bob and how good it looks, and man, can't believe it. And now, I mean, you ain't even 6 months into it, and all of a sudden.
But
you know,
it's the change up. You can change it up some. You got to change it up.
Well,
it's versatility.
When you're good, you don't need to change a whole lot.
Versatility, man. I said I'm thinking about it. I haven't made the decision.
If I were Courtney, I'd be disappointed if you did. I'd probably treat you a little different.
You gonna stop bringing up?
I'm just telling
stop bringing my wife.
I'm just telling
that
you.
I don't know what kind of relationship you two
I'm
have
telling
behind
you,
my
man.
Back.
Around we've had a conversation. Room. I know how Court loves that Bob loves that. She was really worried deep down inside, worried about that hairline, and then all of a sudden this come up and she's like, "Whoa! I'm not even gonna ask how it happened. I like it." And now you're gonna cut it. Come on, man.
About cutting it down, man. That's it, man.
All right, man.
Speaking about somebody who else cuts their hair down, our guy Davis Mills.
Cut it down or let it down?
He cuts it down. He does not let it down. Be nice.
He needs to let it down a bit.
Yeah, he cuts it down. But he said something today. He spoke today. A lot of people spoke today. The heavy hitters.
Who we hear from today?
The heavy hitters. We heard from the head coach, Lovie Smith. You hear from him on the program. You heard from
by way of Big Sandy, Texas.
You heard from Brandon Cooks, the second leader on the offense, according to Lovie. And then you heard his top guy, his leader, Davis Mills. And he was, this is very simple. He was asked the identity of their offense for them to be successful. This is coming from the quarterback. This is what he believes is the identity of their offense that will make them successful. This was Davis Mills.
Ground and pound football team who's going to make the defense have to play the run, but then when they do, let's take some shots and move the football down the field.
You know what? I agree with Davis.
Whoa.
I agree with Davis, my guy. I agree with him about this team in 2022 right now, the best chance for them to win games, to go with what he said, is Damian Pierce running the football, play good defense, and then try to take advantage of opportunities.
Ground and pound football team.
But, Clint, is that sustainable to win in today's football? Is that sustainable to win in today's NFL that way, ground and pound, and play off your run? I don't know who's doing it that much right now. That's the overall to me is can they actually win big in the NFL today? Well, with that.
Well, look,
that
I mean, there's a couple of teams that I think would classify as ground and pound, and one of them is the Indianapolis Colts, who are arguably the biggest disappointment in the NFL to 2 weeks in, and the other one would be the Tennessee Titans, who just got completely embarrassed by a fast break offense in a primetime game.
Ooh, that's
so,
a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a fine line to walk, show. There is, I'm all for being a run first physical football team, but ground and pound and take shots, you're not winning anytime soon in Houston. Hmm. I mean, you're just not going to win.
You got to give me something on that. You got to give me a little breakdown on that.
You don't have guys to just take shots. You don't have guys that are going to consistently win in one-on-one coverage over the top in a shots fashion,
which is not good enough.
You're not. I don't think you're physical enough, sound enough, up front at this point in time to be a true ground and pound offense. And so I think there's got to be a happy medium there. I think you got to find a way. I think you got to spread defenses out. Now I don't care how many times you run it versus a pass. If Lovie wants to run it 60% of the time, that's fine. But you got to spread teams out. You got to get. And I'm talking about spreading them out on first down. I'm talking about spreading them out when it's a tie ball game or a three-point ball game. I'm not talking about spreading them out late in the game for 10 plays because you're trying to go down the field and score a touchdown or because it's overtime. You know, forget all that. I'm talking about when it matters on first down, are you coming out in 13 personnel with three tight ends on the field or 22 personnel with a fullback and two tight ends on the field, or are you coming out spreading them out to run it, spreading them out to get some cheap, easy throws in a throw game. I think that's how you gotta win in today's game. You can be run first, and you can ultimately believe in shortening the game, chewing the clock. You can ultimately believe in a 60-40 or a 65-35 run to pass ratio. You can certainly believe in all that, and you can certainly, you know, buy into and subscribe to taking lesser risk than the opponent. But ground and pound, that's all up for. I mean, look, it depends on what that means to you. When I hear ground and pound, I mean we're gonna run some old Jets back when Rex Ryan was out there. Who was that? That was a coach when what's my man from USC? The butt fumble and all went on.
Mark Sanchez. That was Rex.
Yeah, you're going to me. That's ground and pound. We're gonna have 2-3 backs. We're gonna have the baddest offensive line in the game. And we are going to run when everybody knows we're going to run, and we may throw the ball 10 times. You know, that to me, that's ground and pound. Some people will turn around and say, well, ground and pound is what San Francisco does, and I wholeheartedly disagree.
No.
I wholeheartedly disagree. They got a very effective run game, but it is They're stretching the field sideline to sideline. They're using every inch of the field. They're creating throwing lanes with the way that they run the ball, with the way that they put all the window dressing up there. They run the football well, but that's not ground and pound. When I hear ground and pound, downhill between the tackles, old school fashion with a fullback in the game that's got his hand in the dirt getting downhill on a linebacker, I don't know if that's going to work in today's game.
Well, Clint, if there's a ceiling to it. There's a ceiling to it even before offenses have become what we're watching offenses are now. There was a ceiling to it. I mean, there was going to be some point where teams are going to score enough points to where you have to be taken completely out of your ground and pound, and then what do you do next? How effective can you be when you have to throw the ball and when you have to change it up and the other team knows it? Like, it's a fine line. I think the best example of that we've seen is probably Tennessee, where they've been able to punch it with Henry, and then, you know, their quarterback was mobile and they could use Tannehill in the run game a little bit, and they could, you know, hit Brown down the field. Like, that was the closest thing to it.
Once in a lifetime running back too.
Yes, and I was going to say,
I'm not bucking
think...
your point. I'm just saying, I mean, that guy. I mean, it's worth noting. Let's put a little asterisk out there. I mean, you're talking about, we've never seen a running back built quite like that. I mean, there may be one or two in the history of the game that's built like that and could do what he's doing. So,
and then AJ Brown on the outside, yeah, the first, like, yeah. they and Jonnu Smith when he was there, they like, that was the closest thing we saw. And then there was a ceiling to that too, though. I mean, we watched it when. Hell, the Bengals didn't put up that many points. But then they had to put the game in their quarterback's hands, and he couldn't make plays, and they couldn't make enough plays. In today's game, it feels like, man, you have to at least be, even if you run the football, you have to at least be able to make some plays down the field and have the ability to make some plays when the other team knows you're not going to run the ball. And that's why there's in many cases, been a ceiling with Baltimore at times. There has been many cases a ceiling with Tennessee. There's a lot. Like, Seattle was a run team, but Russell could make plays when he needed to get them to spaces. And that's just going to be really hard. Your margins are so, so small. Defensively, you got to be really good. Like, the defense has to help the offense by not having the lead get stretched out so much so you can still keep doing what you want to do. Like, the Texans go down by 10 points right now with their game plan. We haven't seen that yet this year, but it's like, oh God, what do you do then?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I think they're gonna look better.
Do you? Because it'll force them to do.
I think they'll spread it out. They'll throw the ball on first down. They'll and I'm not talking about like last week. First rattle out of the box, 13 personnel, 3 tight ends, hard play action. To throw a screen to the running back. You invited all these bodies into the box just by the personnel and the alignment and then tried to throw a screen into it. Like, you can't, in today's game, like, wasting, and everybody's always one snap. You can't, this is the same thing with the quarterback play. In today's game, if you're going to be a ball control offense, if you're going to do what Lovie Smith wants to do, you cannot waste downs. Josh Allen, he can waste a down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can go, damn it, y'all got me, and he can throw that sucker out of the back of the end zone 20 yards. And he's going to come back the next time, they're going to spread you out. He's going to buy a little bit of time. He's got a great receiver, got a couple of really, by the way, did you see Jake Kumerow catch a long one? Was it a touchdown or was it a long? Anyway, he caught a long one. I think it was a touchdown. I know Aaron Rodgers is, because that's the guy Aaron Rodgers wanted to keep a couple of years back when they let him go. But you can't waste downs. I think if the Texans get down in a game, and I think if Lovie's forced to go into a more of a spread offense, and I'm not getting carried away here, but in a spread offense, I think his quarterback's more comfortable there. I think you create, obviously, inside lanes for your running back, which is one of your best players. You spread the defense out and create opportunity voids in a defense so that Brandon Cooks can get the rock more often. It wouldn't surprise me if this offense didn't function a lot better at that point in time.
I mean, can they accomplish what they want to accomplish? Like, they want to run the football. Like that's what they want to do. And spreading it, can they still accomplish what they're looking to accomplish by running the football?
Yeah, I'll argue it's significantly easier. I mean, you think about it, or let's say
easier than what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's very elementary in my opinion. I mean, it's a lot more difficult for the guys over there in those meeting rooms that are having to execute it. But as we talk about it, if you spread guys out, a defense has to declare, right? A defense has to declare the if I'm the quarterback and I'm up there and I've got one back in the backfield and let's say I've got one tight end, I got a 6-man surface with a tailback in the backfield. There's probably going to be 6.5 bodies in the box. Now, if I take that tight end and I spread him out, I stand him up and spread him out two or three, four yards, somebody's going to go with him. So now all of a sudden my box has become very clear. I got 5 guys in the box if they want to play zone. I got six guys in the box if they want to play man. And so now my offensive line, as they decide, hey, this is a combination, this is how we're going to block this, it's very vanilla. It's black and white. When you bring all these extra bodies in there, and there's 8, sometimes 9 bodies in the box, and your center's trying to figure out who needs to block who and what calls to make and who's, whether they're pass protecting or they're run, there's so many bodies in there that are moving, a good defense is going to be moving, that it's damn near impossible. I mean, it's damn near impossible. If you spread out, you make them declare. To a certain extent, you make them declare, and then if there's one unblocked defender, guess who's got the rock in his hand, and guess who's got space to make him miss? Not Brandon Cooks, but the next best player you got, and that's Damian Pierce.
Yeah. Someone here on the text line, Baltimore does a pretty good job of ground and pound.
Yeah. Baltimore does. I don't think they're still believed to be this, but at one point a couple years ago they had the most physical offensive line in the game. They're still to a certain degree have to have that. They got the most elusive quarterback seen play.
They've got a bit of a dip. There's one major difference.
No question.
One major difference that you have. Like we're talking about ground. And Lamar, by the way, who also threw for over 300 yards in the game Sunday. They had ground and pound, and Lamar led the league in touchdown passes the year he won the MVP. So, I mean, like Lamar Jackson, if that's where you're going to go and say they've done a pretty good job of ground and pound, so the Texans can too, right? When they get, if they get a player like that, then maybe we can have a conversation. But, I mean, that's just a completely different level of guys they got.
I mean, if they got an offensive line.
I know Driscoll has been impressive.
Yeah. I mean, if they got an offensive line like that. I mean, if they got, you know, if they had a quarterback, hell, if it were just a quarterback like a big-bodied between-the-tackle guy that could run downhill in some of the quarterback plus one stuff, nobody does it in the league. But if you had that, then you could do more ground and pound more effectively. The truth of the matter is we're talking about a football team that's piecing together an offensive lineman, an offensive line unit that's got one tailback that legit gives you an opportunity to make plays, a suspect quarterback, and one receiver right now that I think other teams would be interested in if everybody was on the market right now.
Yeah.
And that's Brandon Cooks. So, yeah, I mean, it's just not – I think you'd have certain personnel to ground and pound. You got to have a certain level of physicality, and you got to be pretty damn good in some other areas around the quarterback. And I just don't know if that's – I don't know if you – even if the stars align, if you can be successful in that.
Not today, yeah. All right, it's Texans mailbag day on the newest episode of the Futopia podcast. Sean Pendergast and John McClain answer all of your Texans questions in their new episode released here today. Find it now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. All right, Lovey and Brandon Cook spoke about a player that the Texans have traded for that we have not seen yet, and we'll tell you why it's important that we potentially see him soon. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the Show.
Tony Gwynn Jr., our MLB insider, coming up in about 15 minutes. Talk about them Astros in the American League. So stay tuned for that. But still, the thing here with the Texans that is a struggle, Clint, we've talked about it a bit, is this offense. And they are now averaging 14 points a game. That is where they are, and I think they know it. We understand that's not going to get it done moving forward. And it's a very stagnant offense. You know, the best way that I could say, boy, if I see 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 10 for this offense, like I have. Not a lot of hope that they're able to convert things like that.
Yeah, look, the thing is, they're just not very aggressive. I mean, it can be 1st and 20, and we're gonna run the ball. It can be 2nd and 20, and we're gonna run the ball, and just screen. Except 3rd and 15. You know, there's a severe lack of aggressiveness, and to me. I expected there to be a lack of aggressiveness, like relatively speaking to the rest of the league. That I think there's a severe lack of aggressiveness with this offense. And I'm starting with knowing that Lovie Smith is the architect and the builder and he's the head guy here. I mean, it's got his handprints all over it. And I still believe that there are just there's glaring issues from a production standpoint in this offense.
No, it is. And man, Clint, it could start with, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, with them having the absolute best guys to give them production on the field.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I said this, and I'm serious, man. Sunday, when Seth and Sean are doing the pregame show, I'm going to be scouring just like I did the first 2 weeks to see – who is on this inactive list and who is active. And I keep seeing 18 pop up on that sucker. And Chris Conley keeps popping on there. And then this past week, he's popped up on there at the expense of Philip Dorsett, somebody who's been in camp. And I don't think there's very much of an argument. A guy that has shown to have more production than he has during camp and what we've watched in preseason game. And then a kid, Tyler Johnson, who they traded for, who we've heard is a promising player in practice. Those guys have been on the bench. Listen, I'm not saying Tyler Johnson and Philip Dorsett are household names or anything like that, or that you're missing, you know, DeAndre Hopkins on the bench or something. But, God, it feels like what we've seen, that those guys give you a better shot at being productive and helping this offense than a guy like Chris Conley does. Yet he keeps playing because there's something that they see out of him that they feel like they need. I just, like, it could start with this and start with playing the best players that give you the best chance.
Yeah. Look, I think there's something there especially after week one, when you look up and Rex Burkhead and Chris Conley had more targets than Nico Collins. I mean, then Brevin Jordan.
Stop saying that.
What happened? I mean, that's just,
yeah,
so,
it's not good.
So that's what happened week one. And then week two, you look up and I just think, This is not to nitpick everything to death and be negative about it, but the reality of it is show, you know, and any of our listeners know, I've been talking about Philip Dorsett since about week two of training camp, and I didn't just wake up one day and go, "Yep, Dorsett's the guy. He's wearing 4. Deshaun used to wear that. He's sticking out, man. He's really."
You said to me multiple times on, especially off air, watch out. He's going to help this team.
Bro, he made more plays.
He's going to help this team.
In the preseason, he made more plays at the wide receiver position than anybody, really. I mean, because you look up, Cooks wasn't playing much. So he's a guy that you watch play and you go during training camp and in the preseason, and he's a veteran. You know, we've heard the team talk about how he knows every position. He's smart. He's got to be, from a speed perspective, like legit take the top off the defense type of speed, he's got to be the best guy they have. I mean, in terms of being able to line up, run a deep post, or run a go route and pull coverage, he's got to be the best guy they have for that particular purpose. And somehow the guy's not on the field. And so to your point, like, I think one thing the Texans can do offensively, besides playing more of a spread approach, having more of a spread approach to first downs and early in ball games, I think the other thing they can do is play their best players. Play your best players, and when those players are on the field, target those guys. Like, it's Tyler Johnson right now, bottom line, if he were in Tampa Bay, he'd be playing.
With all the injuries they had, they wanted to keep him. They'd like to put him on the practice squad. He didn't make it, obviously. The Texans went and made the move to go get him. But they would, with all the injuries they had, they would not have gone to go get Cole Beasley off the streets. Yeah. Like, with all the injuries they have at wide receiver, he would be playing, and he played a lot down the stretch for them last year.
Yeah, and here's the other thing is, you know, O.J. Howard came in here and literally in under 10 days learned enough offense to play, I don't know, 10 or 12 snaps in week one against Indy.
And playing enough to get plays thrown up for.
Yeah. and so Tyler Johnson is a guy that is, any way you slice it, he should be getting playing time as well. I mean, I don't know how you look up and Chris Conley's on the field and Philip Dorsett and Tyler Johnson are both on the inactive list. Just it's a simple, in week one, the problem or the narrative or the what stuck out like a sore thumb was just flat who got targets. Like, you can't win ball games with Chris Conley and Rex Burkhead getting more targets than Nico Collins and Brevin Jordan and Damian Pierce, and that can't happen, right? So that was the storyline coming out of week one. Well, week two, all of a sudden there's a lack of production. The offense is sputtering big time, and you've got two guys on the inactive list. That means you chose Chris Conley, who we've seen make two or three plays in 17, 18, 19 weeks of football now. I think that's the narrative coming out is you got to get your best. You can help yourself by getting your best players on the field.
See, I was about to say, you know, I can understand Tyler Johnson from a certain space because he just got here. The new guy, but damn, you're right. O.J. Howard was here less than 10 days and immediately got on the field. To play, and they had stuff in the game plan for him. So, I mean, that doesn't even hold water right there. The Dorsett thing, I was shocked when I saw that he wasn't active on Sunday. I could not. That one I couldn't make sense of. I couldn't believe that. I said, what? What in the hell? What happened in week one?
Yeah.
Because they were playing Conley in week one in the first half. Then they took him out and they were playing Phil.
Yeah.
And now Phil just isn't active. Like, what?
The interesting thing to me, and look,
you think that's a game plan thing of, all right, this week we want to do? I feel like they want to do the same thing every week.
I think we're in a space again where they just like certain guys better. I think they genuinely like the veteran Chris Conley, and for whatever reason, Chris Moore. And I like Chris Moore. I think Chris Moore has a spot on a football team. I'm not saying that the guy can or can't play. I'm simply telling you that you are a better football team. You are a more talented offensive unit if Philip Dorsett and Tyler Johnson are active and Chris Conley and Chris Moore are not.
Chris Moore, too.
Absolutely. I mean, just think about this, show. Seriously. And all feelings aside, what does Chris Moore do for you? Not you. I'm asking you. I'm not saying he does. I'm not saying you're a family. Like, what does he do? He's old reliable.
In the middle of the field?
Yeah. I mean,
him and Davis are like 22 or 23 or something, 24. Yeah. That's fine.
I remember two of them. But there's no, like, he's not going to catch a hitch or a slant and split the coverage and go get you 25 or 30.
He ain't going to do it. He's not going to get a screen. You can't throw screens to him. He's not that guy, right? I mean, Nico's your big-bodied receiver that you're going to throw the slant to and that you're going to throw on third, you know, any kind of man-to-man situation. You're going to him. I mean, what does Chris Moore bring to the table? Do you look at Chris Moore and go, damn, that dude can run? Is Chris Moore making catches down the sideline?
Catches in the middle of the field. That seems to be.
And I just don't – I don't recall many of them. None of them stick out. I mean
– He had a really good game against the Patriots.
Last year – no, you're right. Last year, a hell of a game. Oh. I completely agree. I'm just telling you, Dorsett brings more to the table. Tyler Johnson brings more to the table.
Yeah, I got to see. But they damn sure do than Chris Conley. That I'm going to lose my mind if Chris is on that sucker, if he's active. All right, looking for an edge as you're picking games this weekend? Check out the BetQL Network live odds, real-time projections, and weekly best bets. Whether you're an amateur or trying to just trying to be better when it comes to betting, BetQL will help you work smarter, not harder. BetQL is the home for wagertainment. Find it on your Odyssey app. Coming up, our Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., will see his thoughts about celebrating a division title. I'm sure Tony is all about it. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, on the line with us is our Odyssey MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Tony, what's good, baby?
What's good, gentlemen? How you guys doing today?
We're good, man. Just over here celebrating another American League West Division Championship that Clint really ticked off the entire fan base yesterday because he's not a believer in really celebrating the AL West title.
Sourpuss.
Now look here. Don't lie. Don't paint a bad picture for T. I just said I'm simply not the kind of guy that when you lead a division by double-digit games all year long – to throw a damn celebration and spray champagne all over
don't
each
other. Don't get too happy,
I'm personally
guys.
Not doing it. What about you, T? You excited about it? Did you get out of your chair and cheer for him?
I can respect that way of thinking as a big Laker fan. You know, you don't really celebrate division titles. However, this one should feel a little different. Because I don't know that the expectation was what it was. What it has been in the past, maybe for you, but at least around the country, I don't know that everybody saw this coming from the Astros this year.
Winning the division? Winning this pissy poor division?
There was a lot of people that said Seattle, it was their time to take this division. Now, clearly they've been wrong, but that was a consensus around baseball, is that it was time for Seattle to make that step. Astros had other plans.
My thought, Tony, and this is what I said yesterday, is, listen, I'm not shocked that the Astros won the division. I mean, they've got this winning thing, this formula down. But
yeah.
Everything that they've had, I mean, they've had injuries just about to every major person on this team except for Framber Valdez. Brantley is out. Their center and left field. You look at that and what they've done and think that team just ran away with the American League. That to me is what's impressive. You lose Correa, you have injury. Alvarez goes on a slide in the second half. To me, what they've done this year and how dominant they've been in the American League with everything that's happened to them, I don't know what Clint's talking about, to be honest.
You know how skeptical I was, you know, at different points of the year. So I 100% agree. Bregman, you know, was off to the slow start. I thought he would, you know, finish strong.
Yeah, you were right about that. Yeah, he's always right about that. Bregman.
And it's just been as good of a season as you could put together in all of baseball this year.
Hey, T, we just got to agree to disagree on the celebrating the division title thing. I mean, we want to celebrate being the best team in the American League. Hell, I'm here for it. But that division title, I'm just not celebrating. Anyway, but hey, T, I want to talk a little bit about the Hunter Brown situation. This kid clearly has electric stuff. This kid clearly, with most MLB organizations, would have a spot in a starting rotation at this point in time.
And the Astros are in a spot where they've got to decide, is he in the starting rotation or they want to bring him out of the pen? We most recently saw him come out of the pen. Just your thoughts on him as a starter, a reliever, where do you think he lands and is most helpful to this team?
I would say he's most helpful to the team out of the bullpen. I mean, listen, part of the reason why the Astros are having the season they're having is because of that starting rotation. And listen, it is a good problem to have when you have so many arms that you got to start moving cats to the bullpen. Nobody really has that type of situation on their roster. And so for as good as Hunter Brown has looked, you know, you also don't know how he's going to respond when the lights are at their brightest and the stage is at its biggest. Starting a game might be a little much to ask, but getting an inning from him out of the bullpen or two certainly would be something that he can navigate based on the stuff I've seen from him.
Are we, Show and I agree on this. When we watch him throw, I mean, there's overpowering stuff there that even a couple of the starters in the Astros rotation doesn't have. You, as a former big leaguer, do you see that same thing?
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing. You can't just say this because there's a lot of guys in the league now that can run it up there, but he's got some dog in him, and that's something that, you know, you can't teach, you can't hand out, and so yeah, he's got elite stuff for sure. But once you get to the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of teams with elite stuff. That guys who have guys with elite stuff. But can he fly in the ball?
All right, here, we'll bring Tony down, man. Tony.
We got Tony in the tunnel again. Tony's in the tunnel again.
Look at it. We'll bring him down. It seems like, he's a.
I wish our listeners could see you. I wish our listeners could see you.
Why?
Tony agrees with you one time, and you get up over there dancing around the dance like you accomplished something.
I mean, the man just agreed.
He agreed with you, and you got like over there like you
I'm
did.
Just
like
saying
you,
it's gratification.
Like you made some, like, come on, man.
It's gratification when a
turn these cameras on in this damn thing.
Who covers the game?
There he
says
is.
Exactly what I'm saying.
There he is. He's back. Tony the tunnel's back.
You got me.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, Tony. No, yeah, Hunter Brown. We've discussed that, man. He has the stuff. He has to play. It's very similar to me. To Christian Javier, he has to be a part of this thing in some form or fashion. Hey, before we get out of here with you, Tony, hey, are you surprised that the Aaron Judge situation isn't taking over sports? When you look at everything he's doing, you would think this would be something. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, this would be taking over the sports world, and it seems like it hasn't at all.
It hasn't, and I'm somewhat surprised. But in a way, I'm not. I think it really speaks to how over we are of home runs. You know, it was like they've saturated the market with home runs for the past 3-4 years. And now it doesn't have that same, like, feel to it anymore. And it's not that it's not impressive, because I think this is – if you go back and look in history, this is going to go down as one of the best offensive seasons in the history of baseball when it's all said and done. But I think – you know, people are still jaded from, you know, the steroid era. I think the last 5-6 years where we've had 100 guys hitting 20 home runs or more, I think it's just not – it doesn't feel the same. But I think that's sad, because what Aaron Judge is doing this year is right up next to amazing. Like, there's not going to be very many years. Most people won't count Bonds years. Most people won't count the A-Rod year in 07. This is going to go down as one of the top offensive years of all time.
Yeah, leading all Triple Crown categories right now in 60 homers in 147 games, which is amazing. All right, Tony, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us, man. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, that was Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop for more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. That is interesting, as we see you talk about cameras in here. They need to have one in there on Tyler, as he was really giving him the business as he was talking about one of the greatest offensive seasons. He was over it.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting to hear him say he thinks it's a home run thing and not a baseball thing. To me, I just feel like baseball is just not as important to people anymore.
Well, I think several things can be true. I think the steroid era, I think, tarnished it. In the last year, I've read articles where Verlander's talking about how the Major League Baseball's been manipulated by the higher ups to either generate more offense or decrease the offense, and so I think all of that plays a part. I think, you know, when you talk about the younger generation, I mean, baseball has always had a problem marketing their players, marketing their game to hell to me and you, and we're in the middle of the business. We're reminded every day how important it is with the younger generation and how they're consuming things. You know, if baseball couldn't appeal to me and you over the last 20 years, how in the hell are they going to be ahead of the curve in appealing to the younger generation? So I think there's several reasons why you look at what's going on with Judge. Really, it's just an indicator to what I think is going on in baseball as a
whole.
That's
what I think. Not really. As much, man. If Aaron Judge, who plays for your premier team, the Yankees in the sport, can't get run, whew, and he's 60 home runs.
He's doing it. 60 bombs at 147 games in the Yankees uniform.
Yes.
And can't get run.
And he's leading the league in RBIs and average. Yep. The triple.
Wow, poor guy.
That's where you. It's poor sport.
Sport, right? I mean, the funny thing to me, we were talking in the crossover with Landry and Lopez about, you know, radio and topics and stuff like that. It's like this guy hit his 60th in 147 games, and he's on a list with Babe Ruth and I mean he's on who else was on that list this morning? I don't remember exactly what list it was, but anyway, Roger Maris, obviously. McGuire, I can't remember how they spaced it out. But anyway, the point is the topic itself is so meaty and so juicy for what we do, but it was like fourth on the list.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, who's, you know, does this game mean anything?
Micah Parsons has risen over,
right?
Aaron Judge, right, for this chase.
Yeah, it's wild, man.
It's crazy. All right, coming up. Lovie Smith, the head coach of the Texans, speaks about Justin Britt since he was placed on the non-football illness injury list. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.